for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 50 years in playing PlayStation and like 15 years in that game's me combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us for future conversations, you can. Come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. But yeah, man, a whole 104, my apologies, try that again, a whole fucking 400 episodes, not 100 and something. I started writing down a timestamp and the one. But no, it has been 400 whole episodes of this show. And as the title suggests, how and also why. But
well, I think it's been 200 and something odd episodes of me now, because I was around for episode 200.
Sure, yeah, you came on literally
just before, like 180-ish?
Just before 180-ish? Death Stranding, before Death Stranding in October 2019. Just before Death Stranding is when you came on, Bob. Well, here you are now. However, so many episodes later.
What a roller coaster it's been.
Oh, it's been exactly the same. Like, yeah. It's one of those weird things. Like, I don't think I'll ever stop doing this because I'm an insane person and I will just do it until I stop existing. Because, like, what the fuck else am I going to do with my day? Like,
because, like, we've gone from recording together to recording in separate households to recording in the same household but separate rooms, then back to recording in different households.
That is true. We have the amount of the many iterations of this show and in all its various forms. I do miss the studio sometimes, even though I still have it. It's not the same, but I know we're pretty adapted to the online.
Yeah. It does give a different feel having being side by side.
Yeah, and look, it was one of the things that we had that sort of really separated us from, you know, pretty much everyone else. I guess, which was really cool. Because as most people sort of did it online, even pre-COVID, but yeah, in the COVID world we had to, and as life became life, and you know, you had your little ones, and the idea of just ducking off for a couple of hours of an evening is less doable than ever before. But yeah, as I said, like, for, you know, 400 episodes, I apologize that I'm not more excited. Like, it is a cool achievement nonetheless. I laugh, but it certainly feels like our
episode 400, the retrospective.
Yeah, we'll just have a moment and just have a look back, and then we'll kick into the show as normal. But yeah, like, I'm not going to stop doing it because I've done it for so long. I don't know what I would do without it. And you know, like, we should have probably done something exciting for 400, but you know, I didn't.
Well, you know, it partly snuck up on us, despite the fact that we've been saying it for a little while. I didn't realize until literally when I went to save the news doc, I'm like, hey, it's that time of the year.
It is. And, like, look, to be blatantly fucking honest with everyone at home, like, it's no one cares. No one cares. Like, no one fucking cared when we did 300 or 350. Like, I talk about this all the time, in that we hit our peak many, many years ago. If you look at our subscriber numbers, they really haven't moved. They've been pretty much the same. They hit a peak, the same people watch, no new people come in, because a couple of reasons. The way we make content is the old way of doing it. It's the downside of doing it for 10 years. Our numbers on audio has always been better. And even that's fine and pretty stagnant at these points. I just think we're old news, Max. We're done. I'm not done. That's why I'm going to keep fucking going. This isn't me being all like, well, let's stop the pod. Because if we can get to 500, you know, suck a dick anyone else that hasn't or can't. You know, they don't seem to be as psychotic as me and want to continue to push through, even though no one's watching, listening, or really caring, aside from those handful of select individuals that are fantastic, whether it be, you know, like my partner Phoebe, who's always watching the other room for whatever reason.
Just to make sure we don't talk shit about her.
Pretty much. I think that's kind of the key fact. And then, of course, we've got likes of Mute and Park and MTB and Josh and Craig and, like, there's a handful of people that the very kindly are here week in and week out. And then there's those that watch along but may not reach out or reach out occasionally, like our good friend Sean Levitt, who's been listening since day dot. And then there's Triller as well, who occasionally pops up in the comments on YouTube. It's lovely. It is nice, like, because, you know, Mute is here in the chat right now, and rain, hail, or shine, they are with us every week, and that's really nice. So it's one of those things that, you know, knowing, as this sounds a lot more somber than I anticipated, but, you know, when I started the pop culture, and especially when I started for the players, I had these great ambitions to do so much and to be something within this space, and I don't think we'll get there. I don't think we'll ever be there, and I think the only reason we're here now is purely because we haven't left. I like what we do, and we appreciate everyone that jumps in and helps us out, but, like, it does feel a little anticlimactic.
It's a young man's game.
Yeah, exactly. But look, it's still fun nonetheless. And I said more to go, and a lot of it now is just mostly out of spite, if I'm being honest. Like, as far as I know, there's no other PlayStation podcast that are made in Australia. You know, Dan Allen Gaming and his show, he didn't die, even though he probably should have been burned from the industry. He's still going. Their podcast died. Explosion Network, our good friends over at Platinum Explosion, they stopped theirs in November and didn't really announce it. They just stopped it, and no one really fucking noticed and or cared. I cared because it was part of my weekly routine. Then there was Operation PlayStation, and that involves an individual that we no longer speak about. But obviously our good friend Paul. I don't think there's anybody else. But then again, the industry has changed so drastically in those 400 episodes. Like, right now, as we look at the last couple of weeks of news, the idea of doing a show that is dedicated solely to one platform seems kind of dumb, because the console war is dead. Is dead. It's done. It's over. So does that mean we won? I don't know. Are we keeping score?
Nintendo won.
Yeah, Nintendo won, probably.
By not engaging.
Yeah, simply put. But
they won the war of attrition by just not being involved.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting. Like, this show was certainly not what it used to be in a lot of ways. Like, we haven't had any guests on in a long time because mostly all our friends that were also podcasters, many of them quit the game. Like, what was our previous most frequent guest was, like, John O'Peck. He doesn't podcast anymore. Paul James is busy with all his things and, you know, helping run a successful website like Player 2 and... Yeah, and then it was you, and now you're here all the time, which is fantastic. But, as you mentioned, Max, you've been here since, like, what? Yeah, October of 2019. You know, one of the beauties of you joining us, it's me. It's pretty much always been me. The one of the beauties of you coming in was that, yeah, you weren't cynical and broken by the industry at large. I hope that's still the case.
I like it's you weren't and not you aren't.
Well, that's why I said I can't speak to that now, but...
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... What's that? It's not always good to meet your heroes, I guess. being able to see on the, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I hope I was never that for you, because that'd be disappointing.
The sneak peek behind the curtain sometimes is just not, you know. I remember back in the day, like, oh, E3 time, you'd watch. And now it's like, I've seen this like 3 times before now. Mm.
Yeah, like it is most definitely a bittersweet celebration, you know. And as I said, like, this is not me saying that we're calling it quits. No, not at all.
Oh, no.
I've spent too much money. It's the sunk cost fallacy at this point.
Mm.
I've spent too much money. I've spent too much time. I've spent too much energy. It's impacted my life too heavily, both good and bad. Mm. I can't give it up just yet. But it is difficult, if I'm being completely honest with everyone listening at home, is that as we, you know, have these little moments, what should be milestones, what should be achievements, and you realize that so many of the metrics of success haven't changed or altered, yet for some reason, I still persist. And I don't think it's out of like bravery or courage or ambition. I don't think I have any of those things when it comes to this anymore, but I still do it nonetheless. Because as I said, what the fuck else am I going to do? Play games, I guess. Max, let's get in the section. Playing games. What have you been playing?
What have I been playing, actually? I've been playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4.
Oh, yeah?
So, thanks to
me.
All of you guys and you.
Yeah, and big thank you to Patreon.
We purchased Tony Hawk's on Saturday. Been playing that. It is not as good as the first one. It has some horrendously gross microtransaction principles in the fact that, like, to get some of the more music, have to pay for that. Mm. Things that were originally in the game as unlocks, you now have to pay for. Like the Doomguy skin, for instance, was an unlockable character in the game.
Is now part of the deluxe edition, yeah?
Yep. So that's a shame. Gone are the days of unlocking things, not having to, and being able to purchase additive items, not things that should have been in the base game, but were removed to put behind a paywall. It feels different. Obviously, the big change to it is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 is not that open, like the open world that it was. Mm-hmm. You can't, it's just going back to the 2-minute system. It's still fun. It is heavily reminding me of the old days of staying up late with friends playing King of the Hill on cruise ship. But yeah, it's just, it hits a little different. Whether it be the fact that there's only 10 of the original soundtrack songs on it, and it's just not feeling the same as what it once did. I'm significantly older than I was when I played it the first time. I don't know. My finger on it.
I haven't spent a whole lot of time with it. I probably spent about half an hour, 45. You know, I don't know how I'm fucking so bad at reading time. Yeah, it's about half an hour, I guess, on Tony Hawk's 3 and 4 before I came into recording today. And very similar to yourself, like it feels like Tony Hawk, which is great. However, I think a massive part of what made 1 and 2 so good was predominantly the nostalgia of it all.
Mm.
It's the same as... I was thinking about these recently, actually. I don't know why I fucking thought about them, but I did. Remember those mini consoles?
Mm-hmm.
The Nintendo one, like the original, the NES, sold like gangbusters.
I've got a SNES up on that shelf somewhere.
And then the SNES came out a little bit later, and everyone's like, this is fucking cool. And then PlayStation tried to jump on, and everyone went, nah, nah. Like, it very quickly lost its impact. It lost its nostalgia. It lost its connection. And granted, look, the game's choices may be part of it. However, it's more about the principle, right? Like, I think we as people... novelty isn't enough anymore. When the amount of novelty that exists across the internet just to get you to look at shit, let alone buying shit, Like, it needs something a bit more than the hook. Because I'll agree with you. Like, playing it... Now, granted, in my memories, 1 and 2 were always more special. And then followed by the Underground series. Like, I played a lot of 3 and 4. But it was 1 and 2, Thug 1 and 2. They are the games that define Tony Hawk's for me.
Yep.
So going in and playing these levels, I'm like, oh, I remember the Foundry. Oh, I remember, you know, like there's enough there for me to, remember that I'm playing an older game. And there are some benefits that exist in this one comparatively to the other, as in a much wider range of skateboarders. A lot more female skateboarders is one thing I noticed as well. Most of the originals are back, which is cool. So I went into, who'd I play as? I spent a lot of time as Bob Burnquist because he skates regular. I skate regular. It's a lot easier for me to sort of think about it that way. And he's pretty good at air. So it's an easy, safe way to rack up a stack of points, especially in that competition, which I think I ran about 100 times because I kept getting silver. And I was pretty close to launching my controller through the fucking window.
I had a very different time doing my...
Well, it's because it's been a long time. Like, I played 1 and 2 a little bit when it launched and then nothing. And then I'm playing it again now, right? 3 and 4 now. So, like, there is a lot of muscle memory. And, like, a lot of it comes back, like, remembering how to, spine transference or revert into a manual to keep those combos going. You know, double tapping square, triangle, and circle as you're grinding to, you know, alter your grind as you, so sort of add multipliers to your moveset, things like that. They're all coming back, but I am finding, and I talked about this before, like, had I not spent hundreds of more hours in skate than I did with Tony Hawk, I think this would hit a lot more immediate nostalgia, right? Because similarly, as you mentioned, like, the song, the track list is tiny from the original. Now, granted, the track list is quite large. There's quite a lot of new artists in there, which is really cool. Because if I think about it, you know, objectively taking away my emotional, like my emotional connection to Tony Hawk's at large, like the amount of bands and songs that I only know because of Tony Hawk. At the time, I didn't know those songs existed, and then I learned about them. So who's to say that Tony Hawk's 3 and 4, as an example, can't do the same? I'm sure there's bands in here that I'll listen to and go, oh, they're incredible. They're right up my wheelhouse. You know, oh, if it wasn't for Tony Hawk's 3 and 4, I would never have known this band existed. And thankfully, a lot of the originals are in there, like CKY is still in there, which is lovely. Alien Ant Farm isn't, which is bullshit. And apparently, even in an interview, they're like, yeah, we didn't know. We didn't even get asked. Like Ace of Spades is still there. So, like, as you mentioned, there's like 10, which is a disgustingly low percentage from the original soundtrack. But it does what a remake does, remaster, whatever, however they're choosing to define it. It looks the same but better, plays the same but better. They've expanded on it in a lot of ways. They've modernized it. I've not dicked about in the micros, so I don't know what is or isn't behind paywalls or within those microtransactions. But if it's anything like Activision's behavior with Crash Team Racing, I assume it's disgusting. Does that help you sort of find... Because you said there's something that's not grabbing you about it.
No. So, I guess the majority of my... Because I played the majority of Tony Hawk's 3, I don't think I ever really played 4. I skipped from 3 to Underground. But I never owned personally anything past 2. I only ever experienced 3 and the rest at friends' houses. Mm-hmm. So my love of that game was purely in the multiplayer format. Mm-hmm. So playing it single player is very like, oh, pardon me, very same. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, I finished with Tony Hawk's 3. I've finished all the levels, gold, medaled everything, done all that jazz. I'm now working through Tony Hawk's 4. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like that uncanny valley of like having a, what I'm looking for. it's almost there.
Mm.
It's just, yeah, I can't quite put my finger on what it is that's missing, but something is missing. It feels like something is missing.
Yeah, I would, that's probably the greatest way to explain it. And I think, at least for me, I think it's internal. I think it's my own.
Oh, most likely.
Because the game itself seems pretty fun in like the time that I've experienced it. But before we jump into the next thing we'll be talking about, which will likely be Death Stranding, because I've got some more things to say. Look, let's address it, because I'm very curious. We're 20 minutes into the episode at this point. So for those of you playing at home, you will have known in the past that Max, like myself, has recently been diagnosed with ADHD. And in turn, some medication has become available to him. So if this is the first show that Max has ever done medicated. Now, I've medicated as well, so we're both, you know, pretty fucking chill. So before we jump in to talk a bit more about like 20 minute check-in, how you feeling? How's it going?
To be honest, I don't feel any different, but...
It is. Yeah. It was a low dose.
It was. So we'll see, I guess, for now.
Because it should be creeping its way in now. Like it may not be a big impact. It might just feel like it kind of the dull roar in the background's kind of low. It might want to sharpen your thoughts a little bit.
I seem to be focusing more on my main screen and not like averting myself and doing other things, which is good.
I have noticed that. That's why I thought I'd chat about it, because it was interesting.
Give the illusion that I'm actually paying attention to you for once.
Oh, I appreciate that.
No, but I am. I feel like I'm, you know, this way as opposed to that way, which is good.
Cool. Excellent. That's a good little check-in. We'll check in a little bit.
Check in a little bit later when he's passed out.
Yeah, because well, look, on a plus side is that you like by you not bouncing off the walls right now, diagnosis is pretty accurate. Because you know if you were to have the medication that we require, and you didn't have it, it would be very very different experience.
Not fun.
Pardon?
Huh? What? It said it'd be way more fun.
Oh, it would be way more fun. Very difficult to record a show, but it'd be fun. It'd make 400 a party. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
All right. So, Death Stranding 2. Now, I still haven't finished it.
Oh, mate, no surprises there. You've been pretty flat out, though.
Yeah.
You lead a busy life.
Yeah, like some fucking insane person. But, yeah. So like, I'm a lot further in it now. Like this is where it gets interesting. So according to the clock, in-game clock, which from my understanding is reasonably accurate, unless I leave it on the menu open for a while, which I do sometimes. So it may not be bang on, but it's currently sitting at like 22 hours, which is interesting because once again, Max finished it in 27. I am in chapter 5, I think. Maybe.
So I will give you the don't go by chapters.
Oh, because I know the chapters are like, because once again, chapter 2 was pew, and then like 3, 4, 5 went.
Yeah, well, I think 7, 8, 9, 10 are literally cutscene, and you get through 4 chapters.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because so where I'm at right now, now what I'm about to say is spoilery if you know, but because I'm just going to say a bunch of words.
Well, I was just going to ask you, what percentage of the continent have you connected to the network?
Fucked if I know. Because I don't know how to divide Australia into percentages. But majority of
well, I can tell you which. I was going to say, I can tell you which direction you go if you want.
Yeah, you go so up and go, around.
It does Western Australia to Northern Territory to Queensland, and then you zigzag down the Middle Eastern part of Australia.
So I'm pretty much... Hitting Northern Territory. So I've done.
Okay.
So I've done. I've met Rainey, which is cool. I have done the very Death Stranding 1 cliff similar experience. That was a chapter in and of itself. So I met the guy who sold Snake but not sold Snake. I can't confirm that whether he is or not, by the way. He just looks like it. You've seen him in the trailers.
He can confirm Salt Snake.
Yeah, he looks like Salt Snake. It's fucking
crazy. He is Big Boss.
Yeah, he's a cool looking dude. So his entrance, it was incredible. Like, what a way to debut a character in the game. It looked fucking immaculate. What is after that? So I've got the animal shelter, so I'm able to save all the animals. That's really fun. I very clearly have a problem in that I can't not pick up lost packages. I did look in the corpus as instructed by you last week about what actual benefits I will get from five-starring people. I ignored it because I was so close to... So now I've got like 2 or 3 5-stars under my belt. So far, the ones I did 5-star, not that helpful. So that was cool. I got some extra patches. I was like, thanks, man. Appreciate it. If only that lone commander wasn't so fucking far away, I'd have that science trank rifle, which would be really, really helpful. What else have I done after that? What else is after you meet that dude? I still haven't extended the monorail, which is bizarre.
Yeah, extending the monorail is a real pain because obviously it takes so much resources that you can't carry them all. You do have to like load everything onto a car. And if you're not far through the game, all the locations that store materials for you don't have enough of the materials required to rip them all out and to build them on out. Like, it's an expensive endeavor.
And even then, because you still need at least, 2,000 chiral crystals to get the mine up and running?
Well, to be fair, there's 2,000 crystals at the mine.
Oh, yeah, if you just walked around and picked up all the shit. What I'm saying is, that's a demonstrative of how much resource
it needs. But, I mean, because of the way this game is set up, it's not crazy to just go into a BT-infested area and just fuck some shit up.
Which is interesting. We'll touch upon that a little bit. Now, granted, we'll have a spoiler discussion at a later date, which will probably wrap up everything that we've been thinking about. But I'm finding the BTs less frequent so far, comparative to the first, which I really appreciate. And because they're the big watches so far, they're really easy to avoid. So if they get in my way, I just lob 4 grenades at them and they leave me alone. Like once again, I'm playing on normal difficulty, so I'm not like playing on easy where, shit's not appearing, but the environmental pressure feels less than the first. So
give it time.
Oh, I imagine it'll get fucked up, right? Like, obviously I've had to deal with a bushfire. That was crazy. Really, really cool. And I
Have you met Higgs yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had a battle with one of his mates.
So you'll see a lot more of the ghost mechs going forward.
Oh, okay.
So there's those red pricks that show up.
Yeah.
For some reason, they are ludicrously annoying and difficult to kill. Mm. It to the point where it the game kind of... I had to change my combat style because I was all about the bolo gun. Bolo gun does not work on the machines.
Yep.
So I had to start running shotguns because I swear that was the only thing that actually dealt damage to them. But they all drop really cool weapons that are really good at killing themselves. So once you kill one, it's really easy to, it's a nice domino effect. You just pick up their stuff and just use it against them. But, You'll hit a point soon-ish where you'll start seeing more often dangerous BTs.
Oh, I imagine so. It would be insane for the game to be.
I feel like it does ease you into it a little bit more than what the first one did. The first one was like, ha, sucker, and just kicked you off the deep end.
It really did.
In this one, it does kind of ease you into it a little bit more, which is nice. There are some mechanics around it as well, which is cool.
Yeah. I find myself using, I have the hover cart for when for whenever I can't take my vehicle. But other than that, I use the off-roader a lot, mostly because I have a supply of materials in there for one. And then additionally, whatever I pick up along the way, I just store it in there. It keeps it out of the rain. I don't flip the car to all that often. It's pretty... easy and to get across multiple.
I can't remember where I got it, but at some point you will get essentially a claw arm that will pick up lost cargo for you automatically when you're driving in that vehicle.
I would very much look forward to that.
And then it just fucking just puts it in the back for you.
Yeah.
Makes life easier. And then I just never deliver it. And I dump the car somewhere. Mm. It's like, it's not my fucking problem. Yeah. You shouldn't have lost your cargo.
Yeah, it's true. Well, no, I feel weirdly... I don't know, it's part of the game that I enjoy, which is going and dropping and seeing it all like tick, 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 tick. I know, it feels fun for me. Yeah, the character's really cool. So I've been introduced to Tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have any more details about them yet, except the immediate thing that we see with them. It does feel a whole lot like... you know, what were those standard little tropes? Very similar to Fifth Element or even... whether it was the Sarah Connor Chronicles, you know, like there's the trope of Born Beautiful Yesterday, you know, where they there's characters in a movie like Fifth Element as an example, you know, attractive female character who is like, you know, blissfully ignorant to the world because they're all new and they get to be, you know, it's a weird male fantasy thing, which doesn't surprise me in Kojima games, but. The one thing I've immediately noticed, but I'm sure that very quickly will correct itself. I also have a theory about Haas and Cars and Tomorrow, so.
Ooh, lay it on me.
Oh, no, that feels spoilery. I don't want to. I'll chat to the post show because for those that are listening, okay. I don't want to drop some potential spoilers because in order to explain my theory, I then have to hit one of the big first story beats and I don't want to touch upon that.
Cool. I look forward to hearing it. I will say this though, Tomorrow has one of the best set piece moments in the entire game.
Mm, I know. Yeah, Rainy was pretty cool.
Rainy's awesome too, but like one of the scenes you get to see with Tomorrow is just love it.
Is there anything else I should mention from Death Stranding? It's difficult because I want to talk about it, but similar to yourself, but obviously spoilers. No, that's it. I think. Yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to think of what else I've been playing. I've dabbled in Baldur's Gate 3 some more, but the people I were playing with are fucking Escape from Tarkov wankers, and there's been a full reset server wipe for Tarkov, so they're back on that grind. I'm playing Split Fiction again with a friend, trying to trophy hunt, which is cool. But other than that, I haven't really played a whole... I'm still chipping away at Elden Ring. Their Everdark Sovereigns are back. They're now putting two on per week in a rotation until the new ones come out at the back end of August, I think it was, they announced. Mm-hmm. So there's one of the three I haven't beaten yet. I did a couple of runs today. My teammates, it's just... Seriously, it's hit. It's so hit and miss. You will either get god-tier teammates... that just do everything. They work with you. They're amazing. They can dodge. They don't go down all the time. Or you get absolutely useless fucks that will just be like, oh, I died once, and then they'll just quit.
Yeah.
And because there's no penalty for quitting, they'll just quit. There's like, ah, I died day one. We're clearly not going to do this on day three. And it's just like, no, just...
Yeah, you died, but not everybody else, arsehole.
You made one mistake by going by yourself. Like, just stick with the group. Let's level up. We can do this. Like, it'll be fine. It is too early on day one to call whether or not you're going to lose. In my opinion. But, you know, what do I know?
For myself, outside of Death Stranding, I have played a bit more Angerfoot, and that's fun. A bit more of Farmer's Life, which is still janky and awesome for that exact reason. I've spent a bit of time back at Gas Station Simulator, as I do. Also returned to The Elder Scrolls Online for a little bit. Like, these are just things where I've been sitting at my desk. And I'm like, yeah, I'll jump in for a little bit. Because I was very kindly provided, the premium edition season pass for Elder Scrolls for the year. So they're doing the worm cult stuff. I'm yet to find specifically the missions or the region for it yet. I'm sure if I just put minor effort into looking for it, I'd find it. But I have found some worm cult fuckers just randomly in the world. I think I was dicking about Orion, which is like the opening. If you go into the base game, like, that's the area. Because I went originally went and did the Gold Road DLC last year or the year before. I don't know, it was last year. Pick a random mission. Like, once I clear out all the area missions, and there's like 12, 15 of them, I will try do the delves or the dungeons until I get bored. As long as all the missions are done, then I can jump to another area. And I've done that like 4 times at this point. So I've done quite a number of the areas. Like, not discovered everything, because there are some things like in there. There are the essentially like the regional monster fights, I guess. You know, you find the little thing and there's little maps, star thingy, fuck, spiral, whatever the hell it's called on the map. And you go there and then you'd find some fuck-off monster that only really benefit. You could only really be defeated with more than just yourself.
World boss is what you
That's are. The word. Yeah, thank you. World bosses. That's what I wanted. Like, I can go and do the delves and the dungeons predominantly by myself. If there's someone in there, it certainly makes it a whole lot easier. But, you know, as I'm over level 50 now, I'm in, like, that next tier of, you know, leveling.
What a flex.
No, it's not really a flex. It's just, I don't know what the fuck it means. So you have all these champion points. And this,
I was going to say Paragon points, but that's Diablo, not...
Yeah, and I don't know what the fuck they are. And, like, because I'm pretty much running the exact same build from when I started, like in terms of powers and, like, moves and shit. I haven't really tinkered too hard. And because even when I started playing, I went in with the intention of not... like specking a build to be exactly as it should be, because I thought that would take a whole lot of fun out of it for me, but also having some structure and purpose would help. But I might go back and tinker about, but it is the game that I go in as I listen to a podcast or listen to some video essays on YouTube or whatever and just stab a bunch of things, and I couldn't tell anything the fuck happens. Oh yeah, sorry, the worm cult guys. Did find them on like a beach and they pretended to kick the living fuck out of me. I had this totem, and like once I cleared all the enemies at the totem, boom, it released a second wave of people, which were even stronger. Killed all them, boom, in comes a third, they're all stronger, and then I got stomped. Because I would have appreciated some assistance, but no one was around. But yeah, good game. Love the game. Still enjoy it. Other than that, nope, I think that's it. All right, so let's get into the section where we call Inform the Players, where we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Quiet week again, Max.
I mean, quiet, but some big, big things. So this week we had the State of Yote. Did you watch this? Because I didn't. I totally forgot that it was on. Being school holidays and whatnot, I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, look, no disrespect to the game. Very similar to Ghost of Tsushima. Like, I enjoyed the game. I liked what it was, but it is absolutely not built for me in the slightest.
So... Ghost of Tsushima, as you were just referring to, had a Kurosawa mode inspired by, has inspired developer Sucker Punch to go a few steps further with Ghost of Yote, which introduces a bunch of new ways to play the game. For starters, the aforementioned Kurosawa mode does return, letting you play in black and white with increased wind effects and crackling soundscapes, an ode to one of Japan's most legendary Next, we have the Mike mode, created in conjunction with action-heavy filmmaker Takashi Mike. This mode zooms the camera in on the main character Atsu during combat and pumps up the amount of mud and blood that gets sprayed around. And then the biggest surprise, we have Watanabe mode. This option lets you play Ghost of Yote with music tracks directed by Shinichiro Watanabe himself, the director of iconic anime series such as Cowboy Bebop and Samurai Champloo. The latter is clearly inspiration here for the name, if the name didn't already give it away. Sony will also release 2 limited edition Ghost of Yote console bundles to mark the release of Sucker Punch's stunning new open world game. The hardware designs will include imagery of Yotai and its surrounding area of Izo, which is better known as Hokkaido. The first bundle comes in gold and has been inspired by the Japanese art form known as Kintsugi, which is a traditional process used to repair old ceramics with lacquer and gold. This will be available at retailers worldwide. Meanwhile, the second system comes in black and is inspired by sumi-e, another traditional Japanese art form involving black ink. This will only be available through PlayStation Direct. So the one that looks better, in my opinion, the black ink, is only available through PlayStation Direct, but you can get the gold worldwide. They are selling not just consoles, but PlayStation Plays for them, except if you own a OG PS5, those plates don't exist because they don't care anymore.
Yeah, that's for the slim and with the slim only. Now, like,
the controllers look dope though. I wouldn't mind one.
Like, just out of curiosity, now I don't know whether it's a Japanese thing, but I know it is a thing. Like, what's the name of that shit where like they break a pot and they fill it with gold or whatever?
Is that, if you had been listening to me,
yeah, fuck off, I wasn't. All right. Oh yeah, Kintsugi, it was right there. You didn't mention it a second ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's what it's inspired by.
Cool, that makes sense. I was going to say, it looks like a whole lot inspired in that. Yeah, it's because it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look, we'll play this game when it comes out, but for me, it's not a rush. I imagine for you a bit more, but...
Yeah, super keen.
Do these added... Like, once again, I like the idea of the added modes, right? Because I like the Kurosawa mode.
I played Tsushima in Kurosawa mode. Mm. But yeah, I'll dabble. I'm still waiting for them to be like Ghost of Yotei Legends 2, and I'm like, yes, do it.
Mm.
Give me that multiplayer sweetness.
Yeah, I do. Well, even then, Legends wasn't a day one thing. It came later, didn't it?
Correct. Yeah. About a month.
Look, it's nice when a game can continue to get some support after it releases. Now, heads up, everyone. Whole lot of spoilers about to come your way. Astrobot, new DLC. Yeah,
I totally forgot that I've played all of these. Yeah. I haven't beaten the last level yet, though.
I haven't played any of them. So Astrobot has once again added even more levels to the game, more challenge levels. But on top of that, as many of you may know, if you have played Astrobot, once you finish a level, or if there are little characters, little Astrobots that are similarly designed to characters that you know and love. So it appears that Astrobot has finally added one of the most desired characters. And once again, spoilers for those that haven't unlocked it yet, this is now your time to pause the show. You get Cloud Strife, best known from Final Fantasy VII. You'll unlock him and add him to your hub area once you complete the new high inflation stage, which has been included as part of the free update earlier this week or late last week. The update actually goes quite heavy for the first time with Square Enix representation. For the longest time, Square Enix was oddly not included in the game.
Mm.
However, it appears that's been rectified with this bunch, as you will also get the following. Once again, more spoilers. You get Surge from Chrono Cross in Twin Frog Trouble, 2B from Nier Automata in Suck It Up, Cloud from Final Fantasy VII in High Inflation, Atsu from Ghost of Yotei in the Handheld Havoc, and finally Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII in Mega Mix Mastery. Now, Max, you said you mentioned you've played these levels, you've checked them out.
Yes, I've done all of them but Mega Mix Mastery.
How are they going?
So, Twin Frog Trouble obviously gives it away in the name. You've got the frog boxing gloves. Suck It Up is an elephant level with the different materials that you can suck up as the elephant and shooting back out. High Inflation is I think it was the squid where you can inflate yourself and whatnot. Handheld Havoc was something. For some reason, I can't remember. And Mega Mix Mastery is a challenge run of what seems to be, or could be, all of them. I've only managed to complete the first two sections at the moment. I haven't put too much time into it. It starts off as a dog level and then switches to monkey drums, and that's as far as I've gotten.
Okay.
Because I keep dying at the end of that section. My daughter, who's a big fan of Astrobot, really enjoyed them. She has also finished all of them except for Mega Mix Mastery, and currently has better times in all of those levels than Patch.
Nice. Mute in the chat jumps in and mentioned Tomb Raider didn't count as square. No, it would be Crystal Dynamics in this case. Balloon, stretchy hands, or monkey drums. And there was also Time Warp in the level you haven't finished yet, by the sounds. And the Water Spring.
There you go. Sounds about right. It's put all the other levels to shame.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I also haven't finished the last round of bots because I just at that time I couldn't be fucked dealing with the frustration, so I went whatever and just ignored it.
Well, Ryan, things are going to get better.
Oh, I hope so.
Sony has released a somewhat soppy trailer to celebrate 15 years of PlayStation Plus. Sony subscription first launched back on the PlayStation 3 and has gone through a string of reinventions since then. Its current guise sees the service divided into three: PlayStation Plus Essential, offering basic on play with monthly games; Plus Extra offers an on-demand catalog of PS5 and PS4 titles; and Premium or Deluxe bundles in cloud streaming and retro games.
And disappointment, mostly.
While the trailer serves as a recap, it ends with the pledge, quote, "We're just getting started." Sony has reiterated in multiple interviews that it's always looking to improve the value of PlayStation Plus and entice new players to subscribe. As one of its biggest revenue drivers, the onus is on the organization to keep adding new features and incentives.
Look, if they're essentially saying it took them 15 years to just get started, that's not good. But don't get me wrong, like what PlayStation Plus set out to be when it started is very different to what it is now. And, you know, as we've learned a lot more over the last couple of weeks about the financial viability of subscription services. The approach that they have taken still seems to be the correct one. But once again, where does it get better? I'd like to get better because right now, like I'm still on Deluxe, and I think mine renews soon. But I am probably going to drop it down to the middle tier because the top tier is giving me jack shit.
Yeah, here in Australia, Premium or Deluxe is kind of lackluster. It's even like via exchange rate, it's currently more than what everyone else is paying, and we get less features.
Absolutely, and I paid for it for the, you know, support the idea in hopes that it would one day create a better experience. But sadly, it is not. But look, that's also with the understanding, and I know we've talked about this before as well. Like there is the understanding that PS Plus, those higher levels aren't built for us.
No, AU definitely does still auto-renew.
Oh, sorry, in the chat, Mute goes, AU doesn't do auto-renewal, right? No, it absolutely does. Yeah, so it does do auto-renewal, but I'm not going to pay $200-something for PS Plus premium. Not going to do it. And it is a shame that it's not doing what it should be. I forget where I was going a moment ago, but whatever. PS Plus it's fine. Essentially what it is, it's fine.
Mandatory.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the best way to explain it. It is, you know, mandatory. I like having digital saves and shit, so. All right, let's get into those quick bits. The Forza Horizon... which is 5, I believe, which is semi-recently released on PlayStation, has sold 2 million copies on PS5, which is equivalent to the amount of copies of Astro Bot that have been sold. Just put it out there. That's kind of fucked up, Max, if you think about it. Now, granted, PlayStation doesn't have like a good arcade racer like Forza Horizon, so it makes sense. But it's also kind of bonkers.
I mean, Forza Horizon is a solid game, though.
Absolutely. It is. It's intriguing. And what's making me laugh, right? And I couldn't articulate it until I found... There was one particular a post that I saw. And someone was like, ha-ha, look at all the Xbox games in the top 20 of PlayStation. Xbox wins. And someone retweeted it, which had been like, but that's what a third-party publisher does. Like, no one ever gets really fucking excited if Ubisoft or EA or 2K happens to have a bunch of games in the top 10. Woo! No one fucking cares because they're third-party publishers. And that is what Microsoft is now. So it's cool fact. Like, that's fucking interesting. It clearly shows that Xbox at least still have some, you know, financial value. Yeah, some financial value in their IPs. It's just a shame that they've killed them on their own platforms and they have to go elsewhere to be valuable. That's a damn shame. Yoshitaka Amano inks an original design for the Resident Evil smartphone spin-off. Didn't know that was coming. GTA 4 PlayStation remake. Rumors are picking up once again, which is good. GTA 4 is fun. I like it, but it is
GTA 4 is fun until you get constant phone calls every 2 minutes from your cousin.
I just do what I do in real life. I ignore people's phone calls. The director of the recently axed Last of Us multiplayer title has moved to Japan to form a new game studio. That's pretty cool. Finally, in dem quick biddies, The Last of Us Part 2 has now had another iterative update, and you can now play the game in time chronological order. I wouldn't, because the entire game is built on playing it in the sequence that it shows you. And they even tell you that, hey, like, tutorials for things will happen later in the game once you're already using them, so be wary of that. It is, you know what's funny? It's really funny, Max. Now, granted, Naughty Dog have made the choice here to release this update. But the amount of, oh, you know, we can't put fucking difficulty modes in Soulsborne's games, Max, because that's the creative intention. The artistic decision of From Software to make the game hard and deliver it a certain way is important. But if I don't like the fucking story of Last of Us, they need to change. They need, because of a disjointed story and from a time perspective, they need to fix it. Very similar to Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction would be better, Max, if you watch it in chronological order. Spoilers, it won't, because that's not how that movie was intended to be seen. In the same way, The Last of Us Part 2 was not intended to be seen this way, and fucking don't know why they have done it.
All you're telling me is that Naughty Dog are less stalwart in their design and are more willing to bend to the masses as opposed to...
Well, yeah, that is a dangerous concern, especially with the amount of the pressure that they have received from externals. You know, the amount of times where they've doubled down and saying, no, this is we have belief in how this has been done. So, like, granted, I'm just nitpicking for the sake of nitpicking because I believe that this shouldn't be included in there. However, they're the ones that made it, so they didn't, creative envision aligns with them. But look, if you want to play fucking Last of Us Part 2, play it properly, you fucking idiots. Still gotta watch the series,
yeah, though. I haven't done in it. A single sitting.
Yeah, don't do what Max did either.
Alright. But if you have played Last of Us 2 and want something new to play, here is what's coming out this week. Dropping tomorrow or today at time of viewing. On the 15th of July, we have Dungeons & Dragons Neverwinter 2 Enhanced Edition coming to PlayStation 5. That game's like 30 years old.
But it's enhanced?
It's so cool. Yeah, I think I own the Enhanced Edition on PC, and I think I got it back in like 2000. When did it come out? Neverwinter Nights 2 initially came out in 2006. Apparently the Enhanced Edition didn't come out until 2018, so that's interesting.
There you go.
Cool. We have Eden Zero coming to PS5. Eric Schulm, The Stolen Dream, PS5, and Ready or Not, PS5. On the 16th of July, we have Neon Needles coming to PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4. On the 17th of July, we have A Red Walking Robot, PS5, PS4. Bridge Constructor Studio, PS5. Golden Tee Arcade Classics, PS5, PS4, Hunter Hunter Nen X Impact, PS5, Rugby League 26, PS5, PS4, The Wandering Village, PS5, PS4, Yupin and Ipin Universe, PS5, PS4. On the 18th of July, we have RoboCop Rogue City Unfinished Business, PS5.
That's the DLC for the Rogue City, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have Shadow Labyrinth, PS5. Also dropping tomorrow, extra extra, Banishes Ghosts of New Eden, Bluey the video game, Planet Zoo, Risk of Rain 2, Tropico 6, and New World Eternum, And if you're still paying for Premium or Deluxe, you will get Twisted Metals 3 and 4.
It's a shame the Bluey game was kind of butt cheeks.
Hadley broke it.
Well, I must not remember you saying. I remember, like, it wasn't very good, and then she also
broke She jumped out of the map. The big one for me this week is Shadow Labyrinth dropping on the 18th.
I've got Death Stranding, I've got Tony Hawk. I don't need to buy any games. I'm pretty covered in that sense. But there you have it. That does bring us to the end of the episode. And in episode 400, not even a long one. Not even a long one. Now look,
there's a first for everything, Ryan.
In true Betson fashion, I have once again utterly disappointed you all in expectations around what this could be. But look, I said it at the start, and like I say it with complete earnest. I am very grateful that we are able to do this, that we are able to continue to make a show that goes out there for consumption each and every week. We are kindly still, for whatever reason, supported by publishers and developers and PR. I still don't know why, but I'm very super grateful to do so. I am super thankful to those of you that do listen each and every week. Like, I don't check the numbers like I used to because I can only take so much heartbreak. But for those that do still come back, and those that do still give it a go, I really appreciate it. I really, really do. Because as I said, I would do this even if no one's listening, which is good because near no one is. But it's fun nonetheless. And of course, the biggest of thank yous to you, Max.
Always a pleasure.
You came in clutch, and I've talked this before, every time we've had some sort of 50 increment. You know, you came in clutch when Josh had to step away. You came in as fill-in Max, which then became permanent Max. But then even outside of that, like, you came into my life as a friend of my ex-wife, right? You were friends with Millie first, and we became friends later. And little did I realize that however many years later, you would be without a doubt, one of the most important people in my life. Whether it be because we do this fun little dumb thing together, and it's allowed us to become more, you know, bigger friends than probably what we would have otherwise. But then on top of that, like outside of that, the kindness and the support that you have given me outside of this. Like, you know, we talked about before that all the different variations of how we've recorded this show, and the window of that time was when I was living with you because my marriage had split. Yet you still welcomed me into your house and gave me all that, gave me the care when I needed it, and I really appreciate it. And if one of the ways I can pay you back is to have you sit at a desk, you know, an hour and a bit every week, and you get some occasional games out of it and have some fun. It's the least I can do, and it would still never be enough to pay you back for the kindness that you impart onto me. So, for whether it be 400, 450, 500, for whatever reason, if we're still around when it's 600 or 1,000, I am very, very lucky. I'm very grateful, and I'm very thankful to be able to continue to do this alongside you. You have helped me. Once again, grow, not, you know, hasn't grown in years, but you have helped me continue to grow and support a dumb idea I had with a friend in the back warehouse of a Dan Murphy's here in Geelong. And 11 years later, it is still a thing. The amount of things we have all done and achieved in that 11 years is insane, and it's crazy. But yes, it's still fun.
It is. It's always a pleasure. But we may have to talk about a scheduling conflict that's going to come up soon, as I am going back to school at the end of this month.
Yes. Big change. Maybe I'll go back to Sundays.
Oh, yeah, I might have to.
Oh, that hubbub we made of going to fucking Mondays. Back Sundays.
Threw everyone out.
Sucked in everyone.
Sucked in everyone.
But yeah. But yeah, as I said, I mean everything I said. I mean everything I say to those of you at home. Yeah, whether it be the likes of Mute, who's joined us at the moment, as I mentioned, my partner Phoebe. So since we've gotten together, for whatever reason, she still continues to watch the show every week. As I said, mostly to probably just to check up on, make sure I'm not shitting on her too hard, which I do, but it is mostly almost entirely comedic. She's incredible and supportive and fantastic. And every time I do sort of give her some shit on here, it is entirely based on fucking lies, because she's fantastic. But yeah, there you go. Let's go do some more episodes, I suppose. Max, let's get out of here.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. But until next week, for 401, I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.